Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to Did You Know? I am your host, John C. Abercrombie. On this program, we talk about history, hidden history. In many cases, we are so emboldened that we talk about the need to know history in order to keep things right, to make them better. But that is a very hypocritical statement. And it is because we don't give the full history of America, of people, of individuals, pursuits, happiness, events that take place. And what we do on this show is we try to expand your knowledge of those so that you have a true understanding of history. Many of the topics that we're talking about, in fact, most of the topics that we talk about, are in AmazingBlackHistory.com. AmazingBlackHistory.com. Write that down. Take a look at it, because the program, the subject matter that we talk about on Sunday is usually posted on Thursday of that before Sunday, so that you too can have an understanding of the subject that we're going to talk about. I want you to be aware of these things. It's not a matter of placing one race above the other. But as we look at the history now, we find that that is what has taken place. So therefore, when we think we have the full understanding of history and we have a true foundation upon which to build, in most cases, that's not true. In most cases, we have omitted important details, many of them good, some of them bad, some of them ugly, and they have affected everyone, not just people of color, not just black people, not just indigenous people, not just Asians, not just people from Latin American countries. It has affected white people as well. As we pursue what we are doing, we find that when we are on a team, T-E-A-M, there's no I in it. But history, for some reason, has magnified that difference and, in essence, has placed an I in it. It doesn't look the same. It doesn't feel the same. It's not the same. It's not the truth. It's not the true foundation upon which we can build. Are there points that we'll cover that may be embarrassing to some? Yes. In fact, my embarrassment didn't come from that. My embarrassment came from the fact that there was a history that I had not been exposed to. It was a history that was very embarrassing because I did not know the good, the bad, the ugly. I started with a premise of what I would do, tell about the amazing facts that we've done, and there are so many that I haven't covered. But then I began to look at what I was creating. It's kind of like an artist looking at a drawing. I didn't see this, but I need to open my eyes. I needed to see what was there. And I realized that I was not the only person that did not see the full and complete history of what was taking place. What do I mean by the full and complete history of what's taking place? We have divided this country into basically two groups from the standpoint of race. We have divided into slave owners and those enslaved. We don't realize that there were people in the slave that we consider as slave owners that were not slave owners. Most white people did not own slaves. There were people in the South that did not believe in the institution of slavery. There have been black people that have been freed. There have been black people that owned slaves, but for a different reason, laws have been passed in this country that you can take a free person and enslave them. But if they are owned by someone, they are returned to the owner. Some cases, free black people have purchased relatives. Relatives. Why? Because if you were a free black man and married an enslaved woman, the children are not yours. They belong to her owner. We don't emphasize that. We don't see the ravages that it can have on a family. The owner can lose at poker or something, and next thing you know, your child is being sold down the river. We don't talk about that, but it has happened. It's happened innumerable, an enormous amount of times, and we don't focus on that. I don't want to focus only on the negative because there is so much positive out there. But if we don't know what this thing that we're looking at is from all directions, we have a very distorted view. If you look at the statue of a man riding a horse, what do you see? Primarily the rear end of a horse. That's not the complete picture. And that's not what we want to give you. We don't come on to embarrass people. In fact, we come on in many cases to relieve the burden that many people face. Many people don't want to look into their ancestry for fear that what they are looking at is an ancestry that goes back to slavery. It's not the most wonderful thing that you could look at, but it's something that we're going to have to be adult enough about to face. We have an artificial barrier placed in front of us because of our ignorance. Yes, I said ignorance, because it hasn't been taught to us. And I cannot totally fault our teachers because they were not taught much of this information. I was taught very little of it. One of the factors that embarrassed me to no end, I was born in Spartanburg, South Carolina. I grew up, I didn't know that anything had happened here. I had an absolute hatred of history as I came through school because I did not see myself in history. What I saw was, to be very blunt about it, somewhat disgusting. Because I never did anything according to history. When I had the average history book of 888 pages, there may be one or two, maybe three pages, Negroes, as we were called, colored people. The name has changed many times. Now, as you are listening to this program, many of you are on an internet connection, and I love you for it because you're getting the information. This is our mission, to get that information. But in order to enact with us, you need to call in. You don't have to do it now, but I want to give you the number so that you can. And what is the importance of that number? I can open the microphone. I can see that you're there. If you have questions, comments, disagreements, and I'm not going to think that everybody in this world agrees with me. We can disagree, but we don't have to be disagreeable about it. We can use adult, polite conversation to talk about it, and that's what we need to do. But we cannot have an intelligent discussion unless we have facts on which to base that discussion. Many people have grown up with stereotypes, and this does not affect only white people, black people as well. I had stereotypes. I had to examine them very closely, sometimes painfully so, and find out that there are only three things that I normally look for in a person. I can see color. I'm not colorblind. I can see you. I can describe you. I can describe your complexion. The important thing to me. Three things are important. Your heart, your mind, your soul, or what I should be looking at. That has nothing to do with your height, your weight, the circumference around your body, or any of the foolish things that we sometimes allow to get in the way. Whether you're male, female, or something else should not interfere with how I see you as a person. We can disagree, and I have family members that I am very close to, and we disagree religiously on some things. And that doesn't stop me from appreciating you. We grew up together. You know, I have many, many fond memories of these people. And I'm not going to cut them off because of that, because they have value, value to me, value to themselves. I see how it has been cohesive in their family. It had pulled their family together. There's nothing in that that I should not like. So as we look, we're going to talk about our primary topic today, although not the only topic that we're going to talk about today, is Lieutenant General Nadja West, who became a Surgeon General of the Army. Not to be confused with the Surgeon General of the United States. Not that her job is not important, because all of these jobs are important. But what I want to focus on is her background, her meteoric rise to the position where she is. And I also want to talk about other involvement that she has had in our community. All of these things are essential and necessary to understanding a person. As we look at successful people, we don't realize the encumbrances, the roadblocks, the hazards that they had to endure. And so we are not trained to navigate that particular field. We are not trained as survivalists in the world that we live in. We are trained to, in essence, get an education and go to work for someone else. We're not given that entrepreneurial boost that has built America, that has built America. Because we see that small businesses become large businesses. They employ people. And this gives people a chance. We sometimes look at people that may be working in the fast food industry, and because it's not the highest paid industry in the world, we think that something is wrong, faulty with those people. We don't realize that they have dreams, that that person that may be at the counter taking your order may become a physician that saves your life, that saves your life. It may be the person that repairs your computer. It may be the person that develops a software that makes your life better. It doesn't have to be as profound as that. It may be a game that brings you enjoyment. There are so many aspects that we need to consider. The people that I look for in the audience are those thinking people, those people that have the essence of the human being, which means show me a problem and I'll come up with a solution. Show me a problem. I will come up with a solution. Doesn't mean that you have to be trained in every field, because we see every day in this country, people that develop things that they did not have any idea that they could do. None. They thought And we sometimes get confused with the difference between degrees and intelligence. Degrees, a BS, an MA, a MS, a PhD, or whatever, and think that that is the sign of intelligence. It's not. It shows that you have the ability to stick with a subject. It shows that you have the ability to learn the information that's there. But I think even more important than knowing the information that's there is it gives you a position where you can interpret, where you can advance things to the best of your ability, to the best of your ability. We see every day, and I get a thrill out of it, where people have performed or outperformed the expectations of other people. This is not a racial thing. I don't care who that person is. I just want the benefit of what they are able to do. I didn't refuse polio vaccine because Salk was a white guy. I didn't refuse it because he was a guy, not a woman. I took advantage of what was there. What I am trying to do is make it so that everybody has a chance, an opportunity to do that. When I talked about Salk, we often don't talk about Kizzmekia Corbett, Dr. Kizzmekia Corbett, who was the lead person for Moderna on the COVID vaccine, saved many, many lives. And I am very thankful to her because that is a vaccine I think that carried me through. I have some health concerns, very much so. And I ended up with COVID. Many people don't understand what a vaccine is. A vaccine is not an immunity from something. In some cases, it may prevent that, but it is to lessen the devastation that takes place. I felt bad when I had it, but there was a time when I could have died. I don't care. I mean, I was elated at the fact that it was a black person that got the opportunity to do this. But that's not the primary factor. I didn't care. We have advances every day that we are not aware of. I want to go into Dr. West for that particular reason. Now, I have a favor to ask of you. As you listen to this program, if you have suggestions, please let us know. There are many ways to do so, but you can also engage on the phone. That phone number that I have given or hope that I have given is 646-668-8217. Now, I'm going to ask you to write this down, to put it in your phone, whatever it takes, because every Sunday we come on at 4 o'clock. We have a primary topic, but there are other topics that people need to know about. Sometimes there is something that happens within your family that you may need to know about. I had a friend that lives in Charleston I was speaking to recently, and he was talking about the family coming across some important papers, and they threw them away because they didn't know those people. They may be very closely related to those people. I got a call a couple of weeks ago, some family members that I did not know about, and they are preparing a reunion in August. We have the ability sometimes to reach out. Earlier, when I talked about people not wanting to trace their ancestry back to slave owners, I don't care, because you couldn't do anything about something that happened before you were a viable person on this earth. I understand that. There was a time when I did not understand that. You were born full of sin. in my opinion at that time. And what you did of your own choice, your own doing. And many people don't know how to talk about race. It has become a taboo subject in this country. Young white kids walking along and has been raised in a white neighborhood and says, "Mommy, why is that lady brown?" Oh, you know, you feel that snatch on the hand. Don't talk about that. Why? They're brown kids who want to know the same answer, same question, same, and want to know that answer. Many times we just are not equipped to talk about it because we've never talked about it. We end up doing and acting and reacting based on what we have been told, what we have been seen, and what we have seen. I was born on the East Coast, Spartanburg, South Carolina. I went to work in Washington State, about as far away from here as you can get, not counting Alaska and Hawaii. But what I found was working with people who had never been around black people their entire lives. I went into an environment and had people say, "I'm not going to work with that person." Why? Don't know, just ain't going to work with them. Because they were relying on other things that they had been taught. Some of it on purpose, some of it because of omission. Omission is as bad as a false statement. Because I was raised up in a period of time when I didn't see black people doing anything except it was happening right in my eyes in my own neighborhood. One house away was a doctor. Across the street, a person that owned a cab company. And on the corner was a state agent for the state of South Carolina Agriculture Department, helping farmers. These are substantial people within the community. Teachers next door on both sides of me were teachers. My parents were teachers. These were things that were contributing to society. But what are we faced with every morning before we can get to work, before we can have our first cup of coffee, before we have anything? We are treated to the horrors of the world. Everybody that's done something wrong, shot somebody, killed somebody, done whatever. What's the last thing we hear at night before we go to bed? A compilation of everything that bad that's happened that day. If it bleeds, it leads. True society, true development, true progress, true success is not based on the negative. It is not based on the negative. It's based on the positive influences. Those of you that are listening to me are hopefully making positive contributions. Sometimes contributions that you don't realize that you're making. Sometimes you're on paths that you never envisioned yourself being on. And part of that comes from the fact of our system of exposure. We have to be exposed to lots of things before we find our passion. And sometimes we think that there is only one passion that you can have in life. There is only one thing that you can work on at a time. That is not true. Because as we explore our way through this life, we find many different avenues that can bring us success. And success is what you define it as being. To some people, it's money. I think that is the lesser of the things that we do. because there are those of you listening to me, and I do a program on Thursday night at 7 using the same contact that you got to this program where we talk about that. We talk about success principles because we are not taught success principles in terms of entrepreneurship, in terms of bringing out the best that we can. And a lot of that is based on exposure. I was a chemist by profession. By trade, I was a bricklayer. I loved each one. But I never thought that I could bring them together. I never thought that I would be speaking to you over this medium. Why? Because I was very shy. It wasn't that I didn't know anything, because we always think that we know everything. But what happens is I could see no reason to broadcast a message that's going around the world. Me? No. Not going to happen. But the breakthrough came when I found out that black people had done more than pick cotton in the South, had done so much more. Now, why is that important to white people? Because white people see black people just as I saw myself, as that person picking cotton. I knew I wasn't going to pick cotton because both my parents were teachers. I was learning the trade of bricklaying. And I knew that there were other options for me, and I was glad as I could be. But I didn't know all of the options that were there. I knew deep down inside of me that history was not one of those options. Because as I looked at history, all I could see is people that dressed funny, had funny-looking hair, did not look like me, were in places that I never thought that I would ever visit in my lifetime. And that was my world. It was real. May not have been realistic, but it was real to me because that's where my mind was. When we look at a person like Lieutenant General Nadja West, she was born an orphan. An orphan, but she was adopted by a family with 11 adopted children already. That's love. That's concern. We talk about kids coming into this world unknown, unloving, and the prospects are dismal at that point. We find that there are people that do not have children that can serve in that role, be it a mentor, be it a teacher, be it just a human being willing to do what they can to make this a better world. It doesn't have to be strictly on the basis of race. It does not, because so many people have come into this world and being raised by someone else. What is important is the love that we can give. It's not money. There are many people that have what we would consider to be success financially, publicity, people adoring them, adoring fans. That is not the most important thing that they bring. It's the love. It's the concern. It's the giving. Into this family were a mother and a father. May not be biologically related, but they are related in love. You may or may not have children. You may or may not be married. But you can fulfill a role. You may not want any other children, but you can work with children. You can work with adults, because we sometimes think that you are too old. I am thrilled when I see people that are 70, 80, even 90 years old completing high school, completing college, because there is that yearning. That's what makes people people. That's what separates us from the other animals of the world. We have humanity. Sometimes. Sometimes we don't. But as we look at this particular case, there are many people that fall somewhere along these ideals. We have many people that don't know their background. If you don't know your background, as strange as it may seem, you may not know your race, because that is something that has been defined by man, mostly men, because they didn't want to accept women in leadership roles. But we know of many, many women that have taken leadership roles and have done well. We know of people from every country, every language, every educational level that have been amazing. Why? Because they became the best that they could be. They pursued excellence. They pursued excellence. Now, let's talk a little bit about Dr. West, and she did earn a degree or two along the way, and her father was dedicated to the military, had a positive influence. At the dinner table and at other times, he would talk about stories that were thrilling to them. They could see that he meant something, that he stood for something, that he knew what he was talking about. This is the importance. And sometimes we have people that can be mentors. You don't have to know the children. You don't have to be the same race. You don't have to be the same sex. But we talk about that which is good. We lead people in the right direction. Many times people have and start on a journey, and they are unfamiliar with roadblocks. They're unfamiliar with difficulties. If you are walking and run into a wall, you don't need to back off and run into the wall repeatedly until you're bloody and beaten. It may happen. But we have the ability as human beings to figure out a way to get over that wall, around that wall, even through that wall, under that wall if necessary, because we've even been able to build tunnels under rivers. There is nothing that stops us but us. Dr. West was one of those people. All of the children in that family were encouraged to do their best and that things would work out for them. Would work out. That doesn't mean that you cruise through. That doesn't mean that you go through life without bumps and lumps and whatever it takes. It means that you can get through. I look at it, and although my program is not a religious program as such, I am religious, and I believe that God takes me where I should be at the time, that I learn what I need to learn. As I've intimated early in the program, I hated history, hated it, until I found out that so much was missing. That plus the fact of seeing what people could do once they understood what was possible for them. Is it easy? Sometimes no. Is it desirable? Yes. Because we all benefit from it. When we look, many people listening to the sound of my voice right now may have had a blood transfusion. You may have donated blood. But do you realize that the entire concept that saving lives, whether it's through injury, whether it's through disease, whether it's through accident, that that blood bank was developed by Dr. Charles Drew, a black man? Is there any reason that you would want to take that invention, that discovery back to a time when we didn't have it? When we didn't have it, we were losing many, many soldiers on the battlefield. He saved hundreds, thousands, probably millions of lives. Does it matter to you who that person was? Why not put more people in the pool? Why not give more people the opportunity? I'm going to open the mic in just a short moment to see if we can get any comments on people that may be listening now. You don't have to say anything, but this is an opportunity. We like to engage because we like to know what you're thinking, whether it's agreement, whether it's not. Maybe you have something to contribute. Maybe you have a question. And there are no silly questions. I didn't know the questions to ask. I saw every time they talked about black people, some half-naked aboriginal people in whatever country they could find somebody in. That wasn't me. That wasn't anybody that I knew. My ancestors? Yes. My ancestors? Yes. When we begin to gain knowledge, we begin to see things that sometimes sound strange to us. Most people have not heard of the cheddar man. Just like the cheese, C-H-E-D-D-A-R, or E-R, whatever, I'm not the world's best speller. But we find a body of present-day English ancestry. And what we find, because of the advances on understanding the human genome, we know what this person looks like. There's scientists that are involved. We have the ability to take a skull and recreate what the face looks like. We can do it, and there are people that are very accurate in doing this. But we also can look at that genome, the DNA of that person, and find out many physical aspects about them. We can determine hair color, skin color, eye color, because we are deciphering that genome. Amazing discoveries are coming down the pike. Amazing discoveries are coming up. And this is one of the things that should be an eye-opener. When I talked earlier about race, in 1924, Virginia passed a racial purity law. Under that law, there were only two races. You were white or non-white. Non-white was black. Native Americans weren't white and therefore considered as black. There are laws in this country defining race such that you may be one race in one state and a different race in another state because of the amount of whiteness that you have. We look at cases like Plessy v. Ferguson. Homer Plessy looked like the typical white man. His hair, the hair color, the hair texture, the eyes, the skin, nothing about him indicated that he was anything other than a white man. The case was taken because they wanted to show how absurd it was that a streetcar conductor in New Orleans had to determine your race. It was set up. Frederick Douglass said, don't take the case because it can blow up in your face, and that's exactly what happened. they had to arrange for a detective to go on board and ask Homer Plessy if he was black. He said yes. He was arrested. The case went to the Supreme Court. And as you know, it blew up. There was a separate but equal doctrine. Separate, yes. Equal, ain't no way anybody could consider that equal. But we have these things happen. Under this 1924 law, there are some states that had, you know, one drop of black blood and you're black. Some had it at 1/16, 1/32nd. So that shows how it could happen. But along the way, there were many people, white people, that claimed they descended from Pocahontas. Now, under this law, remember, Native Americans were considered black. They even came up with a Pocahontas exception. You could have the amount of blood that it took you from being white to non-white if it were Native American because you could have been related to Pocahontas. Now, this is absolutely ridiculous. What difference does it make? In most cases, if you came from America, you were an American. If you came from France, you were French. Spain, Spanish. Race did not enter the issue until much later. And we've had conquerors come around. Does that make a person lesser? When we look at Daniel Hale Williams, was the first person to perform surgery on a beating heart, and the patient survived. That patient survived for decades. Yes, Daniel Hale Williams was black. Many people have benefited from that. I'm sure that some may say, no, I'd rather die than invent, than to get the improvement from that guy. You left on your own. Many people would make that selection. But in this case, we see a person who started on what we consider a journey that did not have possibilities of success. When we look at Dr. Smith, the first licensed doctor in America, black licensed doctor in America, there was not a medical school in this country that would accept him. How did he get a degree? He was accepted by the University of Glasgow in Scotland. He got 3 degrees while he was over there. Came in at the top of his class in each one. Now, we are told here that black people don't have the ability, don't have the education, don't have the intellect. We see that being refuted every day. There was a time when America said that black people would never play basketball because they didn't have the intelligence to be able to dribble the ball down the court and think at the same time. We weren't intelligent enough to do that. There was a time when we couldn't think well enough to be a quarterback. Doug Williams won the Super Bowl. We see the stereotypes that get in the way of success, that get there. What we need to do is learn to talk about what's happened. We now have a governor, our superintendent of education, saying you can talk about the Tulsa riot. And that happened when Dick Rowland was in an elevator and the white elevator operator screamed for some reason. We don't know why. They suspected that the elevator may have lurched in one direction or another. charges were never filed against him, and possibly because she said nothing happened. But over 300 people died. Black people died. 10,000 left homeless. But you can't describe race as part of this? We have to come to grips with those things that have happened in America and elsewhere in order that we can move beyond that, in order that we can move beyond that. Great displays of intelligence loom in every race, every country, every gender. And that as long as we are beating ourselves up, we're not making progress. We're not making progress. But Nadja West did. And she became the Surgeon General. All of the children were encouraged to do their best. And like any other children and adults today, there were those who discouraged excellence. We do that. Many of you are not aware of ways in which we do that. Many of you think that there were no challenges to being black, but there were. Why do we have segregated neighborhoods? Not so much today as we had then. The federal government would not back any project, public or private, in which more than one race were to be allowed in. We had housing projects because there were housing shortages, places to put people. But it couldn't be that open to all people. In most cases, it was either black or white. Many private places were doing the same. And this developed into a situation where banks wouldn't loan money in those black neighborhoods. You couldn't borrow money to buy a house. You couldn't borrow money to improve a house if you owned it. These played a very negative thing. But she's able to overcome those. She was born in 1961, graduated from the Academy of Holy Names in Silver Springs, Maryland, and encouraged by a brother who graduated from the United States Military Academy at West Point and earned a doctorate degree from George Washington University of Medicine in 88. This is Dr. West. Today, she is a retired United States Army Lieutenant General and the 44th Surgeon General of the United States Army and a former commanding general of the United States Army Medical Command. She's a physician and was the first black Army Surgeon General. This is a different position than the Surgeon General of the United States. West was the first black female active duty major general and the first black female major general in Army medicine. Having achieved a number first, she is also the first black Army female lieutenant general and the highest ranking woman to have graduated from the United States Military Academy. Now, this may have changed, but the thing is, we struggle, we fight, we move forward. But had we relied on the stereotype, this wouldn't have happened. Now, I'm going to open the mic. I see that we have one person on. I'm going to give that number one more time. Now, this person does not have to talk. We don't force anybody to talk. But I do want to give you an idea to get ideas as to where you're thinking, what questions you may have. They may have to be with this subject. They may have to be with another. And again, we can disagree. It's perfectly permissible in America to disagree, but we don't have to be disagreeable. That number is 646-668-8217. 646-668-8217. So with that, we are opening the microphone on a person from area code 609. If you have anything that you'd like to say, questions, suggestions, or anything else, you may do so now. Are you there?
Thank you, sir. Yes, I'm here. Good afternoon. Thank you,
for the
opportunity to speak. I am listening today. It's my first time listening. My brother, Deacon James Wesley Armstrong, told me about your program, and I'm just listening today. I appreciate the opportunity to let you know that. Okay? I will continue
listening.
Yeah,
were you there yesterday?
No, I was not. For the celebration for Lena, no. I live in Jersey, so I wasn't able to make it to the in-person celebration.
Yes, he said that the people from New Jersey were not able to make it, but I'm glad that you're able to call in. Did you have any comments, questions, suggestions, or anything?
No, I am listening, and as I listen, there are a couple things. I forget exactly what. There were a lot of things that were brought to my attention that I will not say I didn't know, but it just brought it back to my attention, and I appreciate you going over this, and I will encourage some of my younger family members to tune in if they have an opportunity. If not today, not on a Sunday, then maybe on the Thursday evening.
Okay. Now, there is an archive. You can go back and listen to earlier broadcasts, and
yes,
we do come on every Sunday at at this time.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm sorry for the
okay
loss of Lena Armstrong. I went to school with Lena and Willie. And did
okay have
a conversation with Wesley yesterday and his wife, Mary.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
It's always good to see. And yes, I did meet your mother yesterday for the
yes
first time.
Colleen. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yes, yes, yes. She's quite a lady. And still
yes
walking
yes
at 98 years old.
Yes, sir. 98. That's her. Yeah. But we enjoyed,
yeah,
we weren't able to interact with the live portion. We were able to listen, but the sound was not the greatest. We
okay
made out what we could. There were about six or seven of us online on Zoom. And I was able to get a grandson and two daughters to listen in for a while. But then it got to the point where we just couldn't hear. And then I went out to check to see if it was my line. And I wasn't able to get back in. And I was like, well, I heard a little bit. That was good enough. Okay.
I am certainly glad that the younger people got a chance to listen, because part of what we tried to do is to motivate our younger people who have been brought up with stereotypes that we didn't have. When I came along, and possibly you, you know, we were always the scared person, buck-eyed, acting like a
mm-hmm
an idiot. And that's all people knew. They didn't know
that's
that
right
we were capable and doing other things. And as a result,
right,
they believe that they have the truth when we know that they
mm-hmm
don't.
Mm-hmm.
But schools
exactly
did not
correct
teach us any different.
Right.
Black
that's
schools,
right,
white schools, any other school.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we
you
have is
know
that difficulty. What we have is that difficulty in even discussing the issue of race.
Exactly.
You know, because we say, no, can't talk about that, can't talk about that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And schools are getting
yep
to the point now where if little Johnny or little Susie feels uncomfortable, let's not face the truth. Let's just keep
right
this going generation
yep
upon generation.
Keep it quiet. Mm-hmm.
Yes,
it is true.
Yes,
it is true.
So
yes,
I am elated that you're able to listen to us today. And hopefully you can get some more New Jerseyites or whatever you guys are called.
Yes.
But let me tell you a little bit about what changed my mind in terms of history. I had
mm-hmm
a chance to visit to Sutter's Mill in California. Sutter's Mill is where gold was discovered. Started the gold rush. And I was there in September. The crowds were down. And I asked the curator of the museum, were there any black people that played a significant role? Because I didn't want to hear about Kingfish cleaning out the saloon at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Right.
And I found out that there were a black family. There were many black families there. They don't talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
But these people own hundreds of acres of land. And they were selling fruit throughout the state of California. I have since been in contact with several family members who are still working on this proposition. And the state of California had told me that there were no heirs. There are heirs.
Wow.
In fact, he has ran a piece a couple of months ago. We'll have to get together because I still have the video. And Donna Bassiano, and she was talking about the land. I think it was like a 7-minute segment that was on there. We didn't know that.
I did not know that either.
One of the best homes in Coloma, which is the town that was there. And when Nancy Monroe Gooch passed, she owned the original site of Sutter's Mill. Her children would make money from tourists by taking them down to the site, and they could see flecks of gold in the water.
Really?
They don't tell us about this.
We've
been back in the South picking cotton. They owned a church, or they built a church, and all of the jumbling around with property numbers and maps and things like this, they've been able to go back and recreate an awful lot of that information.
That's good. Very good. And share. And now we know.
Mm-hmm. Now we know. Now, we've had people in, let me tell you about this, in New Jersey, since you are there. Princeton is in New Jersey, is that correct?
Yes, it is.
When Marian Anderson was denied the opportunity to sing at Constitution Hall, which is not in New Jersey.
Right.
But when she went to Princeton to perform, she couldn't get a place to stay. She developed a lifelong friendship with a person who gave her a place to stay. That person was Albert Einstein. They had a lifelong friendship, yes. And we don't hear about that either. Now, part of this came about because Albert Einstein was a Jewish person. He understood the struggle. He understood what was going on. And so rather than split things up by race, we need to look at people. I look at people for three things: their heart, their mind, and their soul. If you pass that test, I don't care what other things that you have, whether you are tall, short, dark, light, black, white, yellow, red, whatever, if we can mesh and talk about the differences. I have family members, close family members that are of a different religion than I am. I'm not going to hate them for that. I've seen what it's done for the family, and all of that's been good. It is a matter of what we can do, and we need to encourage our children to know what we are able to do.
Exactly.
On the site, AmazingBlackHistory.com, there are over 300 posts on there. One of the recent ones was, I forget the young lady's name, but she was a Thunderbird, one of these flight team members.
Pilot or?
Yes, she was a pilot.
Okay.
And so we see the capabilities that we have if given the opportunity. Now, as far as I'm concerned, the fact that she is a female should be encouraging to men as well as women, should be encouraging blacks as well as whites. because it shows that we can do what we set our mind to do.
Right.
I don't know. You may be too young to remember this, but Francis Gary Powers was shot down in the U-2. And that plane flies at 70,000 feet. Do you know we have a black woman who was a licensed U-2 pilot as well? You can't think of anything that we really have not done.
Have not done or able to do. Mm-hmm.
Or able to do. That's correct.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we look at people, and I talk about, let's see, you're in New Jersey, but Fort Lee, Virginia, was named after Robert E. Lee. Now, what that means is Robert E. Lee was a Confederate general.
Uh-huh.
He had been commissioned in the United States Army. And in order to fight for the Confederates, he had to take off his uniform. He had to resign.
Yes.
He had to lay down his American weapons. He had to pledge allegiance to a different country. And it was a different country because they had a constitution, a president, a vice president, everything that we had.
Right.
And fight against America. That fort has been renamed Greg Adams. Lieutenant General Greg was a black soldier. And when he was first stationed at Lee and moved into the ranks, he couldn't even go into the officers' club because of the color of his skin. And Charity Adams led the 6th Triple Eight, which was an all-black, all-female unit that served in England and France. They were a postal battalion, and that base also bears her name. Now, we're going to name the base after a soldier that was stationed here in Spartanburg that I had absolutely no knowledge of until fairly recently. We have contributed to every war. When we look at the American Revolutionary War, we know about Crispus Attucks. We sometimes don't talk about James Armistead Lafayette. He was a double spy. The Continental Army had him spy on Cornwallis, and he did such a good job that Cornwallis asked him to spy on the Continental Army. But he gave the Continental Army good information and bad information to the British, basically helping us win the war. Do we know about him? Don't.
No.
But his life was on the line because he couldn't tell people he was one or the other because he would have been shot and killed.
Wow.
But this man's courage is what allowed us to win. And we're a bunch of hypocrites. Because we Americans fought for our independence, but we didn't give it to the black people.
Right.
Did not get
sure
to them. And we're still struggling to do that.
Today.
And I think we need to know that. We need to know that. Now, I believe in Massachusetts we had Mumbet, who was a slave, and she heard people talking. She was working in the house, the big house, and they were talking about their freedom. And she got them there and said, "Why y'all talking about all this freedom? I ain't no dumb critter." And they were one of the first states to flat out outlaw slavery. Because this woman had the courage to stand up and ask questions that they couldn't answer. Their conscience had to bother them. We can do it now. We can do it now. And we have people that want to make sure that we don't understand the role of blacks in history.
Right.
Take it out.
Sure, we don't.
They don't know what critical race theory is. And I'll give you an example of critical race theory. When we started Social Security, and most people think that's one of the greatest things around, particularly old people that are dependent upon it. There were two categories of people that were not eligible for Social Security. They were agricultural workers and domestics. And what jobs did they always want us in? Agriculture and domestics. checks. Mm-hmm. So they basically surgically carved us out of Social Security. That's when you get into the racial theory, because it's a legal class.
Right.
It's a legal look at what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to know
yep.
this. We think law is only getting a crook off of a crime, but there's so much more.
Mm-hmm.
There are lawyers that practice in voter registration and everything else. Let me give you an example of something I hope that you know about. John Thompson was accused of murder, and the state played stupid games. They did not give information to the defense that could have freed him. John Thompson spent 29 years in prison for a crime he did not commit. 29 years. And he was awarded by the state several million dollars. That case went to the Supreme Court.
Mm-hmm.
And the Supreme Court threw it out. They ruled against him. I think the state had awarded him $14 million. Clarence Thomas wrote an opinion that said he gets nothing, absolutely nothing. And what he got after 29 years in prison was a bus ticket and $10.
Wow.
That's Clarence Thomas' opinion. So just because a person is black don't mean that they're with
us. That's true. That's true.
Don't mean that they're with us. And we need to know this information.
Mm-hmm.
We need.
Yep.
So I am greatly appreciative. Hope that you come back and join us on some other Sundays and bring some family members.
Yeah. Yes, I'm going to try and do that. Yes.
And
yes.
Neighbors and what have you. And if you need any, I got some business cards with the information on it that I can get to you.
Okay.
So just ask your brother for the contact information. In fact, we had a good discussion yesterday, and I will listen to his wife's program. I think it's on Tuesday at noon.
Yes, Sister Mary. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes, yes, yes. Delightful person. As are your brothers. And so hopefully I'll get a chance to meet some more of the family. Like I said, when I started school, Willie and I started the same year. So know him quite well.
Right.
And
now,
I appreciate
you get to,
Go ahead.
Did you get to meet Lois and her husband Lois and cousin Lois is a cousin. They live in West Virginia. Lois, what is her last? She was head of African American history. I think that was the name of the department. She was like the top person for African American history at one of the universities there in West Virginia. But she's retired now.
I'd love to talk with her. I'll have to get that information from you. When I got there, it was raining like heck, and I got wet.
I understand that it was pouring, yes.
Yes, it was. So I was kind of trying to warm myself up.
And I didn't get around as much. Yeah, I will get her direct information from my brother, Wes. Well, both of them have it. I have her information. If it's not on my phone, I have it where I could get to it, and that could be shared with you as well, because she has, I believe, she's no longer teaching, but she was, at one point, she was doing the family tree, and she had gone way, way back between her and Ronnie, both of them. have been working on that, because Ronnie and I are only a couple of years apart in age, but if there's something I don't know or I don't recall, then I ask him. He was raised in North Carolina. I was raised in New Jersey. Yeah, but we can get that information to you.
I would certainly appreciate it.
Okay.
Yeah, there's
we'll
a lot
that.
Of information out there.
Yes.
And I know that at one time, I believe it was West Virginia, that blacks couldn't go to the school. They could go at night with special permission or something, and that was an extremely limited number. I think Katherine Johnson may have been from West Virginia originally, who was one of the hidden figures. But let me tell you about a hidden figure for the Navy by the name of Ray Montague. Ray Montague was a woman, spelled her name R-A-Y-E, and that probably gave her some advantage because they thought it was a guy spelling a name funny. But she wanted to become an engineer. She was in Arkansas. No black college in Arkansas taught engineering. And so she went to work after doing research as a civilian in the Navy. And it's a complicated process, but she learned computers as a result. In fact, in order to do that, she had to start working night shifts so she could go to school during the daytime. She bought a car, would leave home an hour early going to work because she didn't have a driver's license and wasn't all that familiar with cars. But anyway, they were impressed that she had enough nerve to drive her car into the Navy base. Anyway, she learned computers. And in order to design a ship in the Navy, it took a team of white engineers 2 years to design the ship. The president said, no, we're going to have to cut it down to 2 months. 2 months from 2 years. That assignment finally got dumped on Ray Montague. She had written a computer program, and from the time she pushed the start button on that computer till a complete ship came out was 18 hours and 36 minutes.
Wow.
And she described how in going to San Francisco, how accomplished she felt when she saw entire fleets of ships that she had designed, a black woman. But they don't tell us this. And so we go around thinking that all we can do is menial jobs. And that is not the case. Not the case at all. I hope that you come back. I hope that we can continue this conversation. But anything that you have, ask it. Ask it now. It doesn't have to be on this. Be on anything.
I really don't have any questions. As I said before, my brother Wes had shared the information with me about the program, because he does a program 8 o'clock, and I catch him.
He follows
seven.
Me.
But I will be, as I said before, I will be tuning in from time to time. I'm not always available on a Sunday, but I have some free time today. And I was like, oh, well, okay, Wes, I'm going to check it out. And I'm going to let him know that I called in, as I promised him I was going to call in. And I talked to him for a little while earlier. That's why I know about the program. And and I will see if I can get some of the grands. You know, the grands got a lot of time on their hands, and they don't have a lot of time on their hands. But I have one that is he's going to be starting Yale University in August, beginning of August, his second master's degree. And he would be interested, I'm sure, in the information that you are sharing as well, because he's that type of individual. He always wants to know. He wants to know more. So I'm definitely going to try and get him in. Although he he lives in Maryland, but he works at for a company or a private company in D.C. He's going to leave that company, and he's going to start Yale University. He was able to get in, thank God, because there's no legacy involved. he just had what they were looking for, thank God. And I'm definitely going to let him know. And if he's got time, then I'm going to let him know, to give him the number, and let him know to tune in if he's got a little extra time,
that.
Okay? All right.
Now, when you
and
talk
I,
about legacy, you know, people are all up in arms because one or two black people get into an institution. But some of those schools, especially Ivy League schools, have legacy admissions which way outnumber the other admissions into the school. And that is a legacy is where you had a relative attend prior, which means you have greatly enhanced your financial position in most cases. And so this outnumbers it, but they are worried about one or two people that have been denied, flat out denied an education, getting in. And so I wish him well, very well, and others as well, because the distribution of wealth in this country is essential. And we can contribute just as much or more than anybody else.
Absolutely. Sure can. You just have to be giving it up. And young folks today, my husband and I, we tell our younger grands, you know, you got to study. You can't sit in front of a video game or Xbox or whatever the kids are doing these days, or on the phone and TikTok and this and that. You've got to be able to study so that you know. Otherwise, you're just going to get passed by. And they don't have a problem with passing you by. So, we drill it into them. We don't drill it to the point where they're aggravated with us, but definitely let them know. You have to study, and what you don't know, you need to read about and find out about. So,
we encourage that.
Don't
be afraid. You're there to learn.
Right. Yep. You have to. Yeah. But I will make sure that I have it on my calendar, and I'll try and encourage some more family members to tune in as well.
I appreciate it, and it includes your friends and associates along with that. And it was a pleasure talking with you. It's a pleasure meeting the entire Armstrong family. And
I think if we don't have
any others calling in, we're going to end this episode at this point. And I want you to be blessed.
Okay.
Be blessed, all of you listeners.
Thank you.
Learn
you,
something.
You
empower
too.
Yourself.
You too. All right.
All
Thanks
right.
again. All right. Goodbye
Thank
now.
You.
You're
the
welcome.
Program you're listening to is Did You Know? I'm your host, John C. Abercrombie, and we come on every Sunday. Be blessed, my friends.
Okay.
Be blessed.
Right. You be blessed, you too. Bye.